back to my podcast, The Story Reader, where I read a chapter of a story from my bookshelf, and I post a new episode each Monday. I love reading, so I want to spread my love of reading to kids. Again, I'm so sorry. I just forgot the track of time, and I forgot my podcast. So, here we are on Wednesday, reading my book. So, where we left off was, if you don't remember, it's the Charmed Candy Cane. We found it. And Jack Frost moved, and the folds of his cloak fell open, tucked down the side. Thrown was a long, delicious-looking striped candy with a curved handle. So they found the candy cane. Now they just have to get it back. A charmed rescue. "Look," whispered Christy. "One of the goblins is trying to take the charmed candy cane." The goblin reached out toward the sweet treat, but Jack Frost saw him and wrapped him greedily with the hand.
"Ow!"
yelled the goblin. "Leave it alone," yelled Jack Frost. "You can't have that. It's mine." He went back to munching on the bog mallows. His face got closer and closer to the tray as he scooped them into his mouth. "Another goblin is trying to take it now. Another goblin is trying to take it now." said Rachel, but this time Jack Frost didn't notice. Carefully, the goblin lifted it from the arm of the throne. He brought it slowly towards him, drooling mouth. "Oh no, he's gonna eat it." Natalie groaned. The goblin holding the charmed candy cane stuck out its tongue and took a long, slurpy lick. "Yuck!" squawked the goblin. "Disgusting!" He thrusted the charmed candy cane away from his elf, and another goblin grabbed it and took a taste. "Ew! Strawberries and cream! We have to stop them from tasting it," said Natalie in a frantic voice. "There are so many goblins, and that if all they want to taste it, the candy will be completely eaten. Maybe we could take it by them, but we could take them by surprise and snatch it away from them. Maybe we could take them by surprise and snatch it away from them. There we go," suggested Kirsty. "If we all pull together, we might be strong enough." "It's worth a try," said Rachel. "Let's go." They swooped down from the chandelier as the charmed candy cane was passed from goblin to goblin. Each of them took one lick and then made a revolting face. I wanted it to taste like rotten tomatoes," wailed one. "I was hoping it would taste like moldy pudding," said another disappointingly, as he thrusted the charmed candy cane at the next goblin. Rachel and Kirsty threw their arms around it and curved the hand around its curved handle. "Pull!" cried Rachel. The three friends pulled with all their might, and the goblin hung on to the end, squawking in alarm. "Let it go," he squealed. "Help, fairies!" Jack Frost turned, yelled, and grabbed the stripy candy cane, shaking it as hard as he could. The three fairies were sent spinning into a corner of the great hall. "This is mine," Jack Frost bellowed, taking a big lick of the handle, "and I'm going to eat it." "No. You," Jack Frost just laughed. "You can't stop me." Took a great big lick and shook his head. "Ick, ack, ugh," he spat. "It's gross." He flung that candy away and it skidded into the corner where the fairies had landed. It came to a stop next to them, and Natalie returned it to fairy size immediately. "Yes," exclaimed Rachel and Kirsty together. Natalie raised her wand to return them to the Christmas workshop, but then she paused, looked at Jack Frost. He had been slumped down into his throne, looking very miserable. "You might as well leave," he told them. "I should have known my plan wouldn't work." "What do you mean?" asked Rachel. "Nothing goes right for me," Jack Frost mumbled. "I've never had a Christmas stocking, and this year it's just gonna be the same." He pulled a large polka-dotted handkerchief out of his pocket and blew into it noisily. The goblin stared at him in amazement. "He looks really miserable," said Kirsty. "I almost feel sorry for him," added Natalie. "Me too," said Rachel. "But what are we going to do about it?" The three friends looked at one another. "It's Christmas. We can't leave him when he's so upset," said Kirsty firmly. "But we can't let him have the charmed candy cane either." Rachel replied. "It's okay," said Natalie with a little smile. "I've got an idea." Stockings and sleigh bells. Natalie raised up her wand and chanted a magic spell. Pie, stocking, and candy cane back at home where they remain. Girls and boys from east to west get the trees that they like best. Santa, hear my plea. Fill each stocking that you see. Let this castle, cold and gray, be joyful on Christmas Day. T- tiny sparkling snowflakes whooshed out of her wand like a fountain. The sparkles whirled around the great hall, touching each goblin and finishing in the hands of Jack Frost. When sparkles cleared, every goblin was holding a horrible holy stocking. On Jack Frost's lap was a large blue stocking decorated with lightning bolts. The goblins jumped around in excitement, and a big smile spread over Jack Frost's face. I hope they all have fun opening their presents together, said Natalie. At Christmas, one of the most important things is to have a good time with your family and friends. I agree, said Kirsty. Now that we've found the charmed candy cane, I think it's time for us to go back to our families. And for me to take the charmed candy cane back to the Christmas workshop. Said Natalie, thank you so much for helping me find my magic items. She put her arms around the girls and they hugged tightly. We're just glad that we found them in time, Rachel replied. Merry Christmas, Natalie. Merry Christmas, both of you, said Natalie, her eyes shining. I don't need to cast a spell to know that you two are going to have a wonderful Christmas day. She waved her wand, and a whirl of fairy dust surrounded Rachel and Kirsty, lifting them off their feet. Goodbye, Natalie, called Rachel. Goodbye, Jack Frost. When the sparkles cleared, Rachel and Kirsty, warm coats were gone. Rachel and Kirsty's warm coats were gone. They were back in the peaceful living room of the holiday cottage. The lights were twinkling, and they could hear their parents chattering in the sunroom. Rachel looked at the clock. It's almost midnight, just when we left, she said. No time has passed since we went to Fairyland. The living room door creaked open. Buttons ran in, wagging his tail. He licked their hands, delighted to see them. Do you think he knows that we've been on an adventure? Asked Kirsty. Of course he knows, said Rachel, kneeling down and patting him. He's a very smart dog. Suddenly, Kirsty gasped with excitement. Rachel, look at the mantelpiece, she whispered. In the orange-yellow glow from the fire, they could see that the plate of pies they had replaced by a few crumbs were replaced by a few crumbs. The stockings hanging above the fire were bulging. And there were a feeling of magic in the air. Santa had been to the cottage. Both reached out to their stockings, and then they paused, and they looked at each other. Should we wait until the morning to open them? Asked Rachel. That's just what I was thinking. said Kirsty. It'll be much more Christmassy to open the presents with her parents. They smiled at each other and then tiptoed out of the living room with Buttons following them. As they were walking up the stairs to their bedroom, Kirsty stopped and touched Rachel's arm. "Listen," she whispered. In the distance, they could hear the faint tinkling of bells. Santa was on his way to visit somebody else. Rachel sighed happily. Rachel sighed happily. This has been one of the most Christmassy Christmases adventures we ever had, Kirsty, she said. Merry Christmas, Kirsty. And that's the end of the book. So, if you like my podcast, tell your friends and family. I'm sure they would like it too. And we are not going to read a Rainbow Magic book next Monday. You're going to read one of my books that I wrote. So, see you next Monday. Bye.